All right. Well, if you would, if you'll open up your Bible to Matthew 28, we're going to be continuing in the 4 to 5 verses we've been in, but I want to let you know, if you are here today and you go, Kurt, I can't open my Bible. No one's ever given me a Bible. We want to give you one today. We have a whole stack of Bibles that are going to be living on the back table in this room because we want you to connect with and know the Word of God that reveals the love of God. And we want to give this to you as a gift. And as I shared last week, our heart in this missional moment is you would know the voice of God and the Word of God, and that you would read the Bible out loud with somebody else, a coworker, a friend, a roommate, a family member. So just grab one before you leave today. We're going to be in Matthew. Matthew is one of the books in what's called the New Testament. The New Testament is the part of the Bible that moves on the timeline of Jesus' birth, his ministry, his life, and then what followed after. And the first four books of the New Testament are those most focused on the life and story of Jesus, and we're going to be in one of those. It's called Matthew. You can use a table of contents. I use it. Turns out it's helpful. Matthew 28, we get this invitation from Jesus after he has lived, after he has been crucified, buried, and raised to life. He's speaking direction to his followers. And the focus of today's talk is that to live in this missional moment, to be a follower of Jesus, means you will receive and share. All right? Let's say that together on three. 1, 2, 3. Receive and share. It's a really cool model. You don't have to give away anything you don't have, and you don't have to have it all to give. You do not have to give away something you do not have, and you don't have to have it all to give. What you acknowledge is what we've already sung today. I need you. God, I need you. I am showing up empty and needy, deficient. I need you. That's where this whole faith journey begins. So you begin to say, God, what you got? What you got? You begin to receive. And as you receive, now you have something to give, and you give it away. And what do? You keep receiving, and you keep sharing. And you keep receiving, and you keep sharing. That's the end of the talk. Let's pray. I'm just kidding. That's it. Let's not overcomplicate. Let's not graduate from that. Let's live with greater obedience into it. And let's see what it says as we continue in Matthew 28, the very last chapter of the book of Matthew, the very last set of verses. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The secret to being a disciple of Jesus, and disciple means follower, a disciple means apprentice. You recognize Jesus as master of your life, the one who has authority in your life, and you are getting behind Jesus, and you're going where Jesus goes. You're going as Jesus goes. The secret to being a disciple of Jesus is anchored in two actions. One, receive. Humble yourself to God and let God begin to give you everything God has. Receive who you are from Jesus. Receive what you need from Jesus. All of your life, all of your wisdom, all of your action, all of your identity, all of your purpose, all of your resources are from God. Receive. And the next one is share. Y'all didn't see that coming, did you? Share. Give away what you have received. See, I think sometimes we make this idea of being a missionary or living with mission and purpose, and we just actually overcomplicate it. You think, well, I don't know enough to talk to my friends about faith. I'm not smart enough with the Bible. But if you really knew my past, if you really knew this, and we just actually discredit and discount the thing God actually wants to do in our lives and through our lives. If you have figured out enough to move towards Jesus, you know enough to help somebody else move towards Jesus. If you're learning to obey some of Jesus, you now know enough to help somebody else obey some of Jesus. If you're humble enough to say, God, I need you, you're far enough along on the journey to help somebody else discover they need God too. It is that plain, it is that simple, and we overcomplicate it because we want to be in control. But the text and the words of Jesus are very specific and simple here. So I know we've been reading them over and over and over again, but here's what I want you to know. It says, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Here's the first thing we have to receive. We have to receive identity. We have to receive the truth we are a child of God. We have to receive a new moment and a new marking of our life that who we are is anchored in whose we are, so that we're baptized into an identity that is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The fullness of God becomes the most true thing about you and me if we're following Jesus. There is no higher name. There is no higher name tag. There's no higher marker or characteristic or identity than that of I am a child of God. I'm made in God's image. I'm loved by God. I'm forgiven by God. He has chosen me. He has named me. He has created me. His authority over me, full stop. That's where it starts. And it never stops being from that point. We must receive our identity fresh and new every morning, because when I go to bed, I wake up anxious and worried all over again. I forget. It's weird. You go to bed and you wake up and you go, oh no, how am I going to make it through this day? I forgot I made it through yesterday. God, I'm worried. I forget that I'm yours. I forget that all authority is yours. I forget that you care for me and you love me. I have to remember and anchor and receive my identity day in and day out, or I will drift. Because everybody else and everything else is telling you that you are theirs. Receive identity, finding my life in God. Well, the reason I say that, I want to be real specific. Why? Because it's very clear I could have an identity in other things. But the clear thing of this moment is all nations will find their identity in God. That's why he wants to go make disciples of all nations. I could be one in the nations who's not a disciple. They need to go make disciples. It means I'm a follower of Jesus. That is what has a claim on my life. And then where does it start? Tell me if this is how your text reads. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, testing them of their biblical knowledge to determine whether or not they get in, and then assess their, you know, financial accounts to see if they're actually generous, and then see if they care for the poor, if they feed the hungry. Nope, wait, that's not what yours says. Praise God. That's not what it says. It actually says baptize them. It starts with an immersion in God's love, in God's forgiveness, in God's redemption, in God's restoration. It is all His. Your faith story does not start with you figuring it out and obeying. It starts with dying to self and being raised to new life. We receive an identity, and it is baptism. And we see this in the life of Jesus. Before Jesus went empowered into ministry, before Jesus changed the world with a team of disciples in 3 years, he was baptized. And that moment was not, oh, Jesus, you're being baptized, you're the best teacher and healer that ever lived. It said, this is my son, who I love, in whom I take great pleasure. And he says that about you. When we anchor and receive our identity and we receive baptism, an immersion into God's life, an immersion into God's truth, we are loved before we do a thing, learn a thing, or obey a command. I might jump today. I wasn't planning on it. That was not in my notes. But can I get an amen?
Amen.
This is the good news. The good news is come in. Be baptized. Find all of who you are in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But don't stay there. Be transformed. We receive our identity, then we get immersed in our new identity, and we come up new and fresh out of the water. We're changed because of the love of God. We're changed because of the truth of God. We're changed into the obedience of God. You're a new creation. You have received the Holy Spirit just like Jesus. Jesus is baptized. He comes out of the water and it says the Holy Spirit falls on him and he's filled and his life is immersed because he too was baptized the way we're supposed to be baptized. Don't do it on your own. Don't build a faith life that's about your knowledge and your checkboxes. Come in and receive. But do not stay where you are. God loves you too much to leave you where you were living life by your own strength, your own wisdom, and your own patterns. As you're immersed and baptized, you come out of the water and you get to live. And you get to learn how to obey God. I'm still learning. Anybody still learning? We're learning, which means we have to stay humble to receive. So God, keep teaching me. Keep filling me. Because we will get new patterns. We receive an identity that does not come from the world, therefore the world cannot take it. It comes from the eternal, everlasting God who restores us to the original intent, who redeems us into the eternal glory of heaven, and he will work on us day in and day out right here as we receive more of who he is, more of his word. Last week, know the word. More of his community, more of his life, so that more of heaven comes to earth. We've got to be transformed. New patterns are formed in obedience to Jesus because he's promised us his presence. I had a very unexpected encounter this week. I ran into a friend in an airport terminal. We had a wonderful conversation before 5 a.m. And it was great. It was actually about discipleship to Jesus. Didn't plan on it. Run into him. We end up in this conversation. And he just in the flow of the conversation, he said, there are four movements in following Jesus. The first is encounter. You can encounter God because God is alive and at work and doing work and showing up. Therefore, go make disciples. And then there's an invitation. Be baptized. Receive all of your identity and life from him. Come into the story. Come into the family. Come into a life where you're now following. You encounter God. It starts with him always. Stays with him always. Then you're invited in. You get in before whether or not he's like vetted if you're like trustworthy or not. Because it's not about you. He knows you need to be transformed. He knows you need to be changed. He knows it's going to be time spent with God. But how do you spend time with God if you're never invited into the family of God? You'll see how that works. It just creates a whole mess. But guess what? Welcome. We're messy. We're imperfect. We need God. That's why we're here. If you didn't need God, go have brunch. I'm picking on brunch today. Maybe I'm just jealous. I want to go to brunch. A trusted friend invites you to brunch 80% of the time. You're going to say yes. Come on. Encounter, invitation, and then it's empower and impact. You cannot be more empowered than you are obedient to Jesus' commands. And you will not have more impact than you are obedient to Jesus' commands. Because Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. That's in John chapter 15. Another book about Jesus in the New Testament. All of these movements require ongoing dependence to God and obedience to God, teaching them to obey everything. If you are here today and you're finding faith in Jesus compelling and you've never been baptized, that is your next step. Be immersed in the life of God and mark it and know, I am God's kid, I'm God's child, I'm God's son, I'm God's daughter, because he chose me. I didn't earn it. He doesn't need more from me to prove that I'm in. I just receive more of him every day. Baptism is your next step. If you're here today and something about faith is waking up in you for the first time ever, it's like day one of like, maybe I should follow Jesus. Baptism is the moment. Baptism is the next step. And then from that moment on, you're already in the family, you're solid, you're secure, but now you be transformed by being obedient. And that's where we need each other. We must have each other. It's an intentional opportunity to share the journey of following Jesus, because I don't know it all. I won't figure it out. I need other people around me helping me see, helping me grow. Well, what about this where God speaks into my life? What about that where God spoke into my life? Like, we have to have each other to capture all that God wants to do. Because if what he finishes with is true, I am with you always to the very end of the age, then our life is ever increasing in the promise of God that is present to us to help us navigate everything. And so then we're sharing a God that is real, a God that is near, with other people that we're around. We receive from God and we share. We receive from God and we share. And this aligns with the words of Jesus. Because he starts again, I'm going back to the beginning. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to who? To Jesus. All authority, that means power and dominion, and oversight and responsibility is above you and me. It's been given to Jesus. So then we need to yield and come under his authority. And the way he wants to do that is by putting his very spirit in us. I've been trying to think through how to communicate this in a way that will make sense to a diverse room. So here we go. Jesus promises to be with us, and his promise is, you will be full of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're anything like me and you've been around church for a long time, humans do weird things with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, and this is very insider church language. I'm just, if this doesn't make any sense to you, just hang in there with me for a second. I'm talking to some people with maybe church background and understanding of different denominations, and so don't worry about it. This part's not for you. Hang in there with me. The Holy Spirit has been seen through a lens of manifestation. What I mean by the word manifestation is, do you speak in tongues or not? What about this thing? What about this theological angle? For just a minute, please put all that aside. Paul writes to the church in Galatians and says this, I want your lives to be full of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. I want you, as followers of Jesus, to be full of those things. Here's the catch. The only way you get them is to have the Holy Spirit, because that is what the fruit of a life immersed in the Spirit looks like. How many of you would love to have that kind of fruitfulness in the person who lives in your house? Yeah, you're like, God, give more of the Holy Spirit to that person next to me. No, want it for yourself. There, you can do nothing apart from God. Therefore, we need to receive the Holy Spirit. Baptize them in the name of the Father, who loves you, who created all, the Son, who humbled himself to come and die on a cross and show you what it looks like to be human, and the Holy Spirit, so that you can be guided into truth. You can have a fruitful life. You can live not by your own power, but by the power of God. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead will live in you and fill you and lead you and guide you into the scriptures and into God and into all he has for you, so you can know your identity and you can share it with the world. Welcome the Holy Spirit, because it's God's presence with you and for you. Now, here's the other cool thing. Paul, writing to another church — the church has always needed help, guys — he says the Holy Spirit does this work. It is only by the Holy Spirit you can proclaim Jesus is Lord. That's in 1 Corinthians, another book of the New Testament. Don't worry about speaking in tongues until you've yielded your life to God. And the only reason you might speak in tongues is because God loves those people so much, they speak that tongue, they need you to declare the glory of God to them anyway, and it's all going to work out. They'll interpret it, somebody else will interpret it. You're like, that's like a whole other message, don't worry about it, sorry, I got distracted. We need what only God can give, and I'm promising, Jesus is clear, the Holy Spirit is a part of it. And here's what I thought. I just want you to see this again. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee — this is Matthew 28, verse 16, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. In a room like this, some of you are really comfortable that Jesus has said, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and you're going to receive. And some of you will find yourself more like these disciples that were there on the mountain with Jesus. They see him, and there's evidence, and they doubt. That is us in our humanity. Some of you, this journey into what God has, it comes with maybe a little more ease and responsiveness. Others, you're skeptical, you're thinking it through, you're going, I don't know, you really want to know the validity of it. That is evident right here in Matthew 28. And then watch what happens. Jesus takes the attention off of them and puts it on himself. The authority is in Jesus. The invitation is to receive a baptism by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the reassurance he gives is he's with you. He will help you navigate this. It's his heart to put the same Spirit that was alive in him in you. And then he'll work with you at a pace that's probably appropriate for you, because he knows you and loves you. But don't resist and be disobedient to what God has. Humble ourselves, receive from God, and share. Share. I want to close with the opportunity of this missional moment. I saw a really interesting article about the Bible app. The Bible app, if you have a smartphone, is a free app that puts the Bible on your phone. No distractions, no ads. They just cleared 1 billion downloads. 1 billion downloads. And they asked the founder, why have you not monetized this? It's a very American question. It's a very capitalistic question. I mean, I did the math real quick. If you just asked people for $1, you'd have $1 billion. Lord, forgive me. That actually was not what captured me in the article. What captured me was this small little part where they're paying attention to people because they want to see more disciples. They want to see transformed disciples. They want to see people find hope in Jesus. They're paying attention to what people search in the Bible app. Here are the most 5 common words searched in the Bible app: anxiety, healing, peace, hope, and love. 1 billion downloads. The top 5 things people are longing for and searching for and navigating and dealing with is anxiety and the need for healing. Where do I find it? Where do I find reprieve? Where do I find some sort of life other than anxiety and worry and depression and distress. God, help! I need healing. I normally search for hope when I do not have hope. I normally search for peace when my life is everything else but peace. And oh, God, could I be loved? Is it possible you could love me? This is our missional moment. This is what people are trying to make sense of in a world that will consume every part of our lives that we give it to. And yet we see a God who wants to give us every part of his life. We see a God that says, let me give you all that I am and all that I have, and I will be with you all the time before you do a single thing for him. Except humble yourself and acknowledge, God, I need you. More than the air that I breathe, I need you. God, I need you. Are you willing to receive more of who God is? That's what the missional moment is. Are you willing to share what God has given to you? That's this missional moment. In Jesus, we can receive what we need, and we have what others are searching for too. So the mission is to receive. The mission is to share what you have received. And in the life of God's kingdom, it will be good news. It's good news. It's not condemnation, it's restoration. It's not shame, it's redemption. The parts of you that feel like you just can't make sense of will not make sense apart from God. And the heart of God is come home. Come home to the family you are already being invited into. Come home to the God who already loves you. Come home. Receive your identity. Receive the opportunity to discover all God has for you. And then in freedom, share it. I said this earlier, but I want to come back to it. Our next baptism service is going to be January 25th, 2026. And you're going, that's far away. It's not far away. It's not. It was weird. I did want to type in 2025. I just did. I wanted to write January 25th, 2025. Next year will be 2026. But right now, you can say, I'm interested in baptism. We're not going to hold you hostage to it, but I'm just going to tell you, if you are finding faith in Jesus and you've never been baptized, God will do a work and mark it in an experience that will change your life, and it is for you to say yes to today. And as we were worshiping, I just felt this call, like if you're here today and you have not made a decision to say, God, I just need to receive what you have. See, what we've unfortunately done is we've reduced our faith in Jesus to a single decision. That is not it. It is a daily decision to depend on God. It is a daily decision to be obedient to his commands. It is a daily decision to say, God, if your promise is true, I want to know you're with me today. It is not a single decision. It is a way into life with God where you depend on God every day. You receive from God every day, and the good gifts he gives, you open up your hands and you open up your life and you share them. And for some of you today, it might literally be scanning a QR code. The most spiritual of all things we can do. The most spiritual. Be baptized in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, because it is their name that is above all other names. It is their authority above all kingdoms and rulers and principalities. It was a couple Sundays ago, we closed our service and I got prayer. I recommend it. And the thing that I just, the impression that I got from my life, and this might be for some of you in the room, but I'm just saying this is how we share the God story that's in us. I went for prayer because guess what I needed? Prayer. I went for prayer because I needed prayer. And I received such kind, encouraging words, and yet it was this phrase that came into my mind that has been an anchor for me since that Sunday morning, which is, God is bigger. God, if I'm turning to you in my need, I'm actually in faith saying, you're bigger than this thing. That's it. That's what faith looks like. God, I turn to you. God, I depend on you. I am banking my whole life that you are the creator of heaven and earth. And the heavens look way big to me. God is bigger. God is bigger right now than the thing you're going through in your relationship with your kid or your friend or your spouse. God has to be bigger than that. God has to be. Or there is no hope. There is no source. There is no source of healing bigger than the hurt. God has to be bigger. And that doesn't mean it all gets sorted out here on earth, but it anchors us in the God who will sort it out for all eternity. God is bigger. Will you turn to God today? If you're in the room and you're already following Jesus, let me be real clear. You turn to God by being obedient to his commands. If you've not yet found your identity in God, you turn to God by finding your identity in him and being baptized and then learning how to be obedient, because you're now walking with a community who will teach you and show you in the scriptures and let you be filled with the Spirit so you can receive all God has for you. Let's stand together.